Computer passwords are on our minds this week. We all know we're supposed to have different passwords for everything. And not just different, but strong passwords. You know, those lists of random letters and numbers. But it turns out, most of us just can't resist personalizing our passwords. Even at the risk of our own cybersecurity, we compose passwords that are full of personal meaning. New York Times reporter Ian Urbina has uncovered the secret life of passwords, and he wrote a piece about it for the New York Times Magazine.
When she first got sick, I really just wanted to get everything I could from her. I knew I had some time, but not forever. I wanted to learn more about our family and her favorite things and have these stories that I could tell my children about her, using my passwords as even just a way to remind me of our family homestead or these great vacation memories. But it also got really hard. Her illness consumed my life. When I was at work, I started to use that as an escape to not think about our family and what we were going through, you know, to have these inane passwords that were sort of not thought-provoking at all. And then at the end, right after she passed away, my password was Prospect. I moved to Prospect Heights, started this new life that she always wanted me to have. That's what I needed to start my day and to have that little reminder that it was going to be okay.
The sort of the anti-password password, they do everything that they're not supposed to. They're not disposable, like good, secure passwords are supposed to be, and they're not meaningless. They're sort of rich in emotion, and they seem to be more pervasive than I had ever imagined, because virtually everyone I talked to had a similar sort of keepsake password.
I love that phrase. You came up with keepsake password. What's behind that word?
We struggled with what to call it. We thought maybe locket password or diary password, and keepsake sort of stuck. I think what we liked about it was it had two resonances. One was that in keeping it, you sort of harbored it for time. And secondly, it had almost a tchotchke type element in that in and of itself, it was meaningless, but you imbue it with meaning because it's got this special personal story to it. So keepsake seemed like the right term.
And both tchotchkes and keepsakes are little things that seem insignificant, but are like keys that can unlock whole stories or memories.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I sort of marveled at throughout the reporting was in 8-character code, you could hear a half an hour to an hour worth of emotion and story and history and layers of the onion if you got someone talking, because there was a lot packed into them.
For example, what's one of the first ones you heard that just kind of knocked you out?
One of the first ones I heard was actually a really sad one. I was at a park watching my son on the jungle gym, and I struck up a conversation with a stranger. And she told me that several years prior, her son had committed suicide, and that when she was sort of rifling through his desk later on, she came across a piece of paper that had Lambda 69 written on it, and it looked like it was his password. And she didn't know what that meant, and she started looking on the internet and realized that Lambda was this kind of common symbol in gay history and stood for liberation and other things, and 69 was a number, but it also was the year of the 1969 Stonewall riots, sort of a famous moment in gay history. And this woman started piecing together her reflections of her son, and soon it dawned on her that her son had been gay. And she had not known that up until that moment when she started exploring sort of what his password might have meant.
Wow. So that's a story of password as secret.
Yeah, and as portal, that was the funny thing. These passwords, even when I talk with family that I've known all my life, this topic had this strange, almost time machine-esque quality to it where it leapfrogged you into a space that normally you don't get to access, and sometimes even introduce you to things you didn't know about people you had known for much of your life.
Did that happen to you when you talked with family or friends?
It did, actually, with my wife and with my son. my wife and I were talking about it very early on about the topic, and we started talking about her passwords, and she had these digits that she often used in her password, and I'd never thought to ask her what they were, and it turns out those digits were the street address for her father's first sort of boyhood home, and she kept those digits in her password because her father, who was this really stellar athlete when he was growing up and in college, a huge guy, 280, 270, and he had a really severe stutter growing up. When he was young, to say his home address, he had to sing it. The four digits that my wife had in her password were the first four digits of his home address. And for her, it sort of recalled both her father's strength and his weakness all in one. And I just thought that was marvelous. And I had never heard that story.
My God, that's like a password as a tiny little short story.
Yeah, that's just it. That's perfectly put. So many of them were like that. They had these really rich stories.
Now, I would think this would be a difficult subject to research because most people wouldn't want to tell you their passwords. They're supposed to be secret. But people seem to have been surprisingly open with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to chalk that up to my skills as an investigative reporter, but
that must be it.
It's quite not. The real mystery here is why people were so willing to tell me, even eager to tell the stories. And
well, plus the stories they told you, these must be some of their favorite passwords and passwords they've used for years. And presumably once they tell them to you, aren't those passwords burned?
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of inherently destructive element of talking about people's secrets. It's really enjoyable while you do it, but then it's no longer a secret. I have a theory as to why people were willing, eager even to tell me, and I don't know if it's right, but my theory is just that we all suffer from a certain burden and pent-up frustration with kind of the tidal wave of information we have to swim through every day and things we have to remember, all the data, and also just sort of the nervousness and stress of security concerns on the internet, privacy. And I think all that sort of funnels down into pent-up anxiety that I felt like when I presented this topic to people, even strangers, it offered them a doorway to catharsis, you know, sort of this opportunity to just sort of irrationally thumb their nose at all that pressure and just tell something they're not supposed to tell. I don't know if that's right, but that felt like it was the best explanation to why people were willing to tell me so often.
Okay, well, this is the point where we have to say, in case there's somebody listening who has a password story they want to share with you, where do they send them?
Just to my email, and that's just my last name. So it's URB as in boy, I, N as in Nancy, A, and then the @ nytimes.com, newyorktimes.com.
When I was 12 years old, I had an instant messenger. That is the first thing that I remember wanting to protect because I did not want my mother reading my conversations that I was having because I was cussing. My password was Travolta. It came from a song by a band called Mr. Bungle. And there's this moment in this weird kind of circus medley song where the lead singer, Mike Patton, just whispers, "Travolta." It's very dark and ominous. My mother did her best to encourage me to be my own person, even if that person was different than she wanted me to be. But I found out later that my mom had a keyboard tracker. She knew all of my passwords and was able to read every single one of my conversations I had had ever on that computer. She's still very sneaky. Now, as an adult, when I really don't have anything to hide from her, I feel like she very easily could still have access to all of my passwords. The thought is kind of charming that my mother really will always know the deepest, darkest parts of me. Not because I tell her, but because she has all my passwords.
Ian Urbina is a reporter for the New York Times and author of the Times Magazine's recent feature story, The Secret Life of Passwords.